everybody, this is Kendra.
And this is April.
And you are listening to Nocturnal Distractions. Only this time you don't have to listen to me talk to myself all night long. Well, not all night long, but you don't have to listen to me just talking. Like, I've got, my April is back.
I'm back.
She is back. So that way there will be some, like, actual conversating.
Interaction.
Yeah, instead of me, like, making a joke and, like, realizing there's no one. Like, I need, like, a laugh track, like, ba-dum bum.
I can't even make that sound, ba-dum bum.
Like, I think it'd be from the... It was just one of those things where it was like, and this happened, and I'm like, and I'm the only one that can react to it.
Oh my god.
So I feel for all of you out there that do solo podcasts, power to you. Power to you.
Right?
Because it can be a very awkward thing sitting alone in your house at night talking to yourself out loud.
Right. And you know, like, I talk to myself, but I don't know if I'd been able to do it, like, because, like, when I, okay, so here I go. I talk to myself. I talk to the TV.
It does.
Kendra knows when I'm talking to what appliance. To myself, to my fucking clothes, right? Like, I'll say something out loud and then I answer in my head, but you can't do that.
Yeah, when she did live with me for a while, like, I finally had to learn that unless she addresses me by name first, then she's not talking to me. Because otherwise, like, I'd spend all day going, what? What'd you say? Did you say something? And she's like, I'm just talking. Oh, okay.
The fucking clothes and the phone and the TV.
And, like, I'll talk out loud every once in a while, but it's not, like, a full hour-long like, telling of a story, right. Basically.
Right.
Which, luckily, it was, you know, farther into our podcast time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have probably been able to do it as well. It would have been really awkward, but I got through it.
You did. Thank you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's no big deal. That's got through us. We've got it. We've made it. I made it happen. We can make it happen.
Captain, Captain, I'm going to stand up real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to go get this TV tray. I'm doing it real. So I can put the phone on that thing right there.
Oh, well, I kind of tried that. You mean your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say mine's not going to go on.
Oh, do you? No, you can put your phone.
No. I already tried in the thing that goes into the bottom. It doesn't fit on there. And
are you? Okay. So it looks long enough.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, this, it's not wide enough.
Oh.
But it's not a big deal. I just have to have it in my sight, so that way if one of our, like, microphones goes out, you know.
Oh, look, my phone's charged enough for that. Okay, so here we go. Sorry. All right, I've got, like, multiple sources and, like, all kinds of things.
It's gotten all electronic-like.
Yeah, because, you know, this was recommended. We got a list of things from Vintage Homicide, and I found one. And so I want to make sure that I give it
justice. Yeah.
Right? Not my normal, just like, here you go, let me spit out some shit kind of shit.
Let me just read it off of this thing here. And
right? Because, I mean, she took the time to make the list and to send it. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody else has anything, I want them to know that I'm going to, like,
yes,
do it good.
And she really has, because she's been working on this for like 2 weeks now. So.
Right.
She's been working on it.
She's been working on it. So, yeah. Do you have any announcements for us?
I need to post a new picture of our map of the United States with the states who have listened to us. I think we're up to 30. We're up to 36 now. So we are 14 away from having all the United States. We're still at, I think, 14 countries. And I think that there's probably been some more added within those countries. Our second largest country listening to us, which is actually a continent, is Australia, which is kind of mind-blowing because I don't really know anyone from Australia. Miss New Zealand, I think you lived there at one point, so maybe it's your friends, because New Zealand is our third highest country listener person.
Nice. That's
country,
awesome.
Whatever.
Australia. Australia is fun.
Australia is fun. They might not go and do that.
She goes, good day, mate. I don't know. I think it would be interesting to go there. I always
you got to watch out, though, because it's one. No, it is. There's like a very small portion of Australia that's actually populated, and the rest of it is like, seriously, when they call it the outback, they mean the outback, because literally everything out there is out to kill you.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the dangos.
The dango. Dango stole my baby.
Yeah.
It's sad because that actually did happen once.
I could have been more than one time.
I know. Did you know, through a tent.
A dingo is basically a wild dog.
Yeah. I used to think it was a kangaroo type of a thing, so right? Because like when you think of like dingo, you think about putting them in like a pouch, right?
Right.
But nope, kangaroos are dangerous too. They're all dangerous. Everything out there is just like, oh, look how cute it is. Nope, it will kick your ass.
Yeah.
For sure. And then there's like crocodiles that like hunt men.
They hunt men.
There are, I think they are saltwater crocodiles, and they are the only crocodile type whatever that actively hunt humans. Like, it's not just because you fell in the water and you happen to be like, they actively hunt humans if they are around.
They send some out.
And yep. Like, and like if they find somebody, like there is this story in Australia, we'll just do a really quick tangent here. There's a river, it's called the Black River, because it's so dark and like just full of gunk that it looks black. And everybody knows to stay out of it because it's full of like these crocodiles, right? Three friends were out on the salt flats and they gotten muddy and they were just gonna rinse off really quick. And they lived in Australia, so like they've done it before, you know, so they knew the dangers and everything else. But the current was really strong. And they got carried off by the current. And the crocodile got one of their friends. There's three of them. So got one of them. And the other two happened to, like, as they're going down this river, there's a tree sticking up. And they were able to get up on this tree. And this crocodile staked out underneath of the tree looking up at him, waiting for him.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine watching your friend being eaten by a fucking crocodile?
And knowing that those things hunt humans for fun.
And if you slip for any reason, yeah. Like, you're done for.
And then, like, it started raining a lot that, like, the night that they were out there, and, like, the water was rising, and, like, so that was bringing the crocodile closer and closer to them.
Okay, so as you say, like, crocodiles hunt for fun humans,
those ones
right?
do, yes.
Those ones do. Adolescent dolphins. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody told me this, and I read a thing on it. Mm-hmm. They will rape human beings.
Wait, what?
Like, yeah, there have been known. Now, I don't know if this was like the article that I read on about it, if it was like,
is this off like a funny Onion hot or something?
No, it's because, you know, dolphins have sex for pleasure, right?
Yeah. And so that's the dolphins.
Right. But they will get human beings, you know, and they will, like, say you're in a heavily populated fucking dolphin place, like in coves and stuff. Yeah. They'll get you, drag you to like a cave part, and they will fucking rape you. And not just one, it'll be like a multitude of so them.
It's,
like,
it's like a gang rape. Yeah. Of, like, how do you go to the police and, like, I was raped by a gang of dolphins. Like, mm-hmm. They're not going to take you
and
seriously.
Now I didn't double check my sources, but like people will go up missing and they'll find these people in caves with dolphin bites on them, their clothes mm-hmm. ripped off and penetrate, like,
weird.
Yeah.
They are really close to like humans in intelligence.
What I've been told, they're the only other like species or whatever that has sex for pleasure. They like seek it out, not just to mate, but for pleasure. Hmm. I could be wrong on that too, because I've heard a lot of stuff about
dolphins
a lot of things.
Dolphins are very smart though. Mm-hmm. They're very, 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 very smart.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my.
There's our tangents for the night. Yeah. We don't have a trailer of any podcast at the beginning of this episode because the ones that I have in the folder area, I have not yet gotten to their actual podcast to listen to them. And I don't put a trailer of a podcast that I've never listened to because I'm not going to recommend something if I've never listened to it.
There you go.
So there's that. I think that's about it. I don't think that there's been any more updates about our Texas teenager dude with the mother in the trunk.
Oh my God.
Or the other lady. Like, she has court this month sometime. So as soon as I hear more updates, I will obviously keep you informed there. The only other thing I can think of is the Iowa dude that his daughter came forward and said that he supposedly killed 50 to 70 women. They have not yet found a body, as far as I know. But there's really strong suspicions that it could be at least partly true. So, but I'm kind of leaving that up to Iowa to cover.
Right.
They could take care of it. I'm talking to you. That's not good in Midwest mystery. That's your guys' territory.
There you go. I just fucking, that's insane. Mm-hmm. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the membrane.
Okay. That's so, my scene slash music for y'all.
Who you got for us tonight?
I never say y'all, but I just said it. Okay.
I say it a lot more often now.
I'm going to say it like 17 times. All right. So today we are talking about Carl Panzram. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just had to make sure that I did that.
We looked up the pronunciation
for that, right? Okay. I just want to say, like, when you go to our show notes or whatever, there's going to be our sources because mm-hmm. I got the sources, you know. Yep. And I'm reading directly from these articles. They're older articles. You know what I mean? So it's not from anybody from nowadays. I'm not going to be like reading right off that.
Like plagiarizing.
Plagiarizing or anything yeah. like that. I'm just not good at like
rewording.
I'm not, because it's worded perfectly in all these yeah. things. So I don't know what the hell to do. I'll yeah. get better at that.
Well, I mean, as long as you say like, I am going to be reading this directly from this,
then we should be good.
Then you should be okay. It's there's a difference when somebody doesn't clarify that first and then they decide to just like use somebody else's words.
Right. You're like, that's not cool.
No.
All right. Okay. Okay. So here we go. I'm kind of excited about this one, but it's sad, right? Carl Panzram, a serial killer as monster. All right. Carl Panzram, a.k.a.
Panzram.
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 Panzram. I got to keep this too. Damn thing right there in front of me.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I did. I wrote it down. Okay. A.k.a. Jeff Rhodes, John O'Leary.
O'Leary.
O'Leary. All right.
I would assume it's he's Irish.
Possessed and obsessed hatred for the human race that borders on the manacle. The loathing for himself and his fellow man manifested in a lifetime of murder and mayhem. I have no desire to reform myself, he said in his published autobiography. My only desire is to reform people who try to reform me. I believe that the only way to reform people is to kill them.
Oh, gee, that's the opposite of reforming. Mm-hmm. There was actually somebody else who was a serial killer when they were on death row, and like their lawyers kept appealing, and she was finally like, stop, like if you guys let me out, I will kill again, like I'm telling you that right now, like I've never lied about it, I've been completely honest, I'm being completely honest now, I hate people.
There you go, just like that. The human monster was one of the worst criminals in American history. Panzram was the son of immigrant Persian farmers. He was born on June 28th, 1991, on a farm.
Okay, I was like, I don't think that. Okay.
On a farm near Warren, Minnesota. His father deserted the family when Panzram was only a boy, leaving this tremendous burden over his overtaxed mother, who had precious inventory and who had precious. Little time to give her, like she's busy all the time.
How many kids are there?
There's five of them, I believe.
Okay.
That's
a lot.
Yeah, it is. Especially for a single mom.
Back in that time period. Oh my God.
Yeah. Without the nurturing family environment, Carl fell into bad ways. In 1899, he was brought before a juvenile court on a drunken and disorderly charge. He was only eight.
Eight years old.
Mm-hmm. What that happened back then? Yeah.
My question is, where did he get this alcohol at? Like, you can't. Okay, he obviously didn't walk to a bar, and I would assume, hopefully, maybe most adults wouldn't just buy it for him because he's eight.
I think back then there was no legal age,
but
like,
still,
alcohol
he's
was
eight.
I know,
and obviously, if you get in trouble for drunk and disorderly, there's some kind of rules.
I couldn't imagine my son just drinking normally to the point where he's, you know what I mean, like
drunk and
or my daughter. It's
because I mean, yes, there are some countries, you know, like Germany and stuff that don't have a drinking age, but at the same time, they also don't have much like. Drunk problems because
no, why?
Because they have grown up around it and know not to go crazy, and that's kind of the problem with a legal drinking age, because you can't do it until you hit 21, and then when you do, you go crazy.
And also in the homes in a lot of countries, like it's typical mm-hmm. to have a glass of wine. Like it's treated with respect.
Yes.
It's
you
part
don't
of their, exactly. And
they have one beer because it's not, yes, it's not taboo. It's not like, hey, we're going to go part, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's a really beautiful thing, really. But we're Americans and
we like to
overindulge, you know what I mean? Which
kinda
is okay.
Like,
I don't
like,
want to say it's just Americans.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like when they did that whole prohibition thing, because that worked out real well in America.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This led to acts of petty theft, which convinced the court to send Panzram to a the Minnesota State Training School in Red Wing.
Let me say something really quick here. Mm. Here's the thing that I have kind of learned with children when they do that, like when they have theft on their records, a lot of the time that is due to survival.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not usually stealing stuff. I don't even know what back, like shoes or something. Like, well, they might be, but they're stealing food. They're stealing things in order, clothing, in order to survive because they don't have a choice.
And now, like, that could have been his problem, but at the same time, I feel like maybe he was just a dick.
And he might have been, too, because he was drunk and disorderly at 8. But, like I said, there, I know that there are a lot of the times when kids that are going through traumatic childhoods,
and, especially back then,
yes,
when Coos was scarce,
mm-hmm, they have to steal, like, in order to survive, and then they wind up getting in trouble and get this, like, really bad reputation when they literally did it.
They're like, I just wanted to fucking eat, man.
Wanted
to fucking eat.
And I'm not saying that's what happened with him, but it could be a thing.
Yeah. Probably was, yes. With all those. Yeah. Okay. So there, the discipline was rigid, if not satanic. Carl toiled in workshops from dusk till dawn, and he was often beaten by the cruel guards. On the night of July 7th, 1905, he set fire to the school warehouse that housed winter blankets and clothing. Okay. That night, the whole place burnt down, and it cost over $100,000.
Wait, like the whole school or just that one?
Just that area, I believe. Later bragged, nice, huh?
Wait, what year was that?
That was in 1905. Carl Panzram left the guilt to others. Damn.
So he never took responsibility for his own actions. He blamed it on, you guys treated me bad, I'm going to burn this building down. Which might have been just, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Or fellow classmates or that were there, you know.
Yeah.
Released in January 1906. Okay, now, so I went and I did some investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I went and I looked up research, right, on this school. And holy hell balls.
It was all bad?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Renewed Red Wing investigated, right? Testimony.
Oh,
of alleged torture and abuse by boys in this training school. I don't know when this article was, but this investigation was going on while it was still in school because one of the kids got out.
Yeah.
You know, and he went to his mother. And here we go. The torture abuse of boys inmates at Red Wing training developed at the second hearing of the sentence investigating committee. Like, this went, and what I'm reading is from an article, and we'll have it in the thing. Two witnesses testified that an officer at the training school had knocked a tooth out of one of the boys' mouth, and this lad was identified, and it says his name in there, right? And one of the former boys, swore that his hands had been chained above his head to the steam pipe, and that he had been left in that position for 24 hours.
Oh,
taken down, his back had burns and hundreds of blows administered after he got off of this, which he said after that, he was drugged to a bedless room where he slept on the floor with only two blankets to cover himself. And during this period of torture, he was only fed a little bit of bread and water. You know, and his mom was furious. And another boy's of a mother at the school testified that she saw Superintendent Scott strike a small boy in the face because the lad didn't drill to suit him, which I don't know what that means.
Workshop?
Yeah. and that when other boys did not get in line, they were struck with a clenched fist. And like this happened all the time. Mm-hmm. The boys who were being whipped, groaned and screamed, and her own son was struck until he was scarred, or they left on his eyes, forehead, and ears. Like they were just like randomly hitting, you know what I mean? And it just goes on and on and on and on.
Here's another. I'm going to interject again. The terrible thing is, like, that was early 1900s, and those types of things at places kept happening. There's it's over. I don't know what country it was in, but Crime Curious has done two parters on it. It's called Aston Hall. And these were kids that either had so-called behavioral problems or were orphans, or their parents didn't want to take care of them. They called it a mental hospital when there was nothing mentally wrong with any of these kids. And they had a doctor that did quote-unquote treatments on them where they were sexually abused by this guy. And he had them breathe in ether so they didn't remember all of it. And just a whole bunch, like they had nurses that were in on it. And then if they escaped from there somehow, they wound up sometimes going to like a Catholic boarding school where the nuns and the priests were just as bad, like putting them in rooms for isolation and not feeding them, you know, not giving them clothing and anything else. So, I mean, if you guys have a chance to go listen to those cases there, I mean, it's
these are
crazy. I'm actually reading a book right now about. That's going to be one of my next cases. So.
Oh, wow. I don't even understand.
It's terrible. It's because they're small. Like, a lot of times they're younger kids that they scare them into not saying anything, or their parents just plain don't believe them because it's so unbelievable that why would you believe them?
Right.
Especially and they're if already, liars have, yeah, they've already been in trouble. Stuff. Yeah.
I'm glad these parents believed their sons. Mm-hmm. The guy testimony, though, one of the two people, he said, I got beat once every 2 months, on my hands when I first went there for just talking and using tobacco. They licked me with a strap 2 feet long and they gave me 15 to 30 blows. Can you imagine being like a grown man? Now these are kids between ages of 7 and 15 getting hit like this. You know, when I tried to run away, they licked me with a thinner one, about 50 blows. After that, when I tried to get away, they put me over a chair and whipped me with a bigger strap. And this just continued to go on. They beat a kid until he was literally black and blue. Black and blue.
And you know, and you have to realize that these straps that they were using, I mean, we're talking heavy leather straps. We're not talking, I don't know, like a fabric. They're leather straps that leave welts all over them.
Yeah.
And they're doing it continuously.
And so this is the environment that Carl came from.
Yeah. He basically grew up. He spent, what, 5-6 years there?
Something like that. Yeah. Like, and he got in there when he was 7-8 years old. And so this is what
going to
traumatize you.
It's going to traumatize you, and it's going to
create anger, this anger and hatred.
There's a word I'm looking for. Form. How your brain, I mean, because when, okay, like even like at 8 years old, like, so you see, I mean, your brain's not fully developed until you're like over the age of 20. So if you're already drinking at the age of 8, you've already stunted your intellectual abilities.
Right.
And you get trauma on top of that, you're very stunted.
Right.
And that's all you know.
Right. And so chances of this dude having brain trauma, because Kendra was saying that a lot of serial killers, if you look into their
head trauma.
There's no way Carl didn't suffer from
He would have had to have some kind of head trauma.
Over and over again.
And at young ages, since your brain isn't fully developed, then that causes some serious repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we are excusing him for anything that he does later on, but it's important to have that history.
It is. It really is. Released January 1906, so just a year after he set the fire, somewhere around there, he hitched a ride on a westbound freight train on East Grand Folk to North Dakota. So he didn't even go back home. Like, his mom didn't even care. Like,
would you want to go back home?
Right. I know, but he's a young lad still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, I guess when you look at the time period, that's not really young.
No. 1906, yeah, I mean, know.
That's
true.
Nowadays, yes, but...
He committed a string of robberies and assaults before winding up in the Montana State Reformatory. After receiving a discharge in 1910, Panzram went to Mexico to join the rebel leader. Oh crap! Pascual Orozco.
Uh-huh. Pascual Orozco. If we said that wrong, we apologize right now.
Uh-huh. And then I'm going to say another one. Why didn't I look up this one? Okay. Who served under
Venustiano Carranza.
Yeah. I
know Carranza's, right?
Right. Why didn't I look this up? Okay. During the Mexican... Okay. Served under that guy. He witnessed the wholesale slaughter of prisoners by Orozco during the Mexican Revolution, mass murders that conditioned him to his own future killings.
Shit. He got desensitized.
Yeah, he fucking did.
That's why they take people off the kill floor at slaughterhouses. You can't stay on the kill floor for longer than a certain period of time. Like, they have to rotate you out because you become desensitized to killing.
That is fucking crazy. In 1912, I'm going to say Carl. I'm like saying his last name. Left Mexico and went to California, to the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, California, what a surprise. California.
Right. Where he committed various robberies, assaults, and acts of sodomy.
He's escalating.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on his gory career, he would recall with fervented pride, I have murdered.
Perverted?
Yeah, perverted, but it. Mm. I feel like it shouldn't be perverted. Is that perverted?
Yeah, perverted.
Okay. Perverted. My bad. Perverted pride. I have murdered 21 humans.
So that's what he was claiming at that point.
Mm-hmm. And he's bragging about, like, he doesn't.
Because he doesn't see it as wrong.
Mm-mm. I have committed thousands of burglaries, robbery, larceny, arson, and last but not least, I have committed sodomy for more than 1,000 male human beings.
Here's my question. Did he, like, keep a tally of
obviously
this? Like, did he have a notebook where, like, did tally marks to
well,
know?
Probably, because he doesn't like the human race and he's trying to
I
knock
know,
them
but
off.
Still, it's like, you. I mean, like, how do you know?
Carl was arrested in Montana, in Chinook, Montana. I think it's C-H-I-N-O-O-K.
Chinook,
Montana. On the burglary charge and sentenced to 1 year in the Manhattan State Prison.
So he admitted all this stuff. And then he was caught?
No, see, what okay. I'm reading is a biography.
Okay, that, yeah. Okay. So at this point, later on, he has said that he did that. And once he was caught for this, he only got to eat. Okay, got
exactly.
It. Got it.
Yep. Sorry, I should have led with that one. He escaped from there 8 months later. He was sentenced a year, escaped 8 months later.
He couldn't wait 4 more months?
Arrested a year later under the alias of Jeff Rhodes. He was given a 2-year sentence in Montana State Prison on burglary charges, receiving his parole in 1914.
Why is he getting parole?
Well, because he's given aliases. Apparently his face doesn't look the same, because I would imagine I would know the same person that came, you know what I mean, but to each their own.
I gotta remember the time period too. It's like over 100 years ago.
With barely any time to enjoy freedom, he was arrested in Oregon on a burglary charge and imprisoned in Salem for 7 years. He constructed his own tools and hacked his way into freedom. Yeah.
It's like Shawshank Redemption shit, man.
Seriously. In May 1918, that's when he got himself out of there. He then went to Chile on an oil workers committing crimes. Yeah, that was Chile. Okay. In that country before he returned to the United States.
Okay, so time out really quick. What year are we on right now?
1918.
And when was he born?
He was born in 1899.
I'm trying to figure out how old he is at this point.
He's the youngest.
So 1899 to 1909, that's 10. And what year is it?
1918. Wait, hold on. He was born in 1891 is when he was born.
Okay.
And at this point right now, it is 1918.
Okay, I'm bad with math, so hold on. I can't do it on the fly when I'm under pressure, so let me look at my calculator.
18 plus 9.
Oh, 18 plus 27. He's only 27. Holy shit, that's 9 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
In 1920, he burglarized $40,000 in jewels and Liberty bonds from a private residence.
And you didn't get away with that shit back then because pawnbrokers were not.
Of former president William Howard Taft.
He what?
Yep.
He robbed a former president?
Uh-huh. William Howard Taft in New Haven, Connecticut.
What if he had something against him?
With this, he did. With this windfall, Carl, he stole a yacht.
He had money, but he stole a yacht.
He purchased, my bad. He purchased a small yacht.
That doesn't scream I stole rum.
Right.
Okay.
Under the name of John O'Leary. O'Leary.
O'Leary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you don't have to have birth certificates or social security cards or driver's license to show who you are.
Uh-huh. He used this vessel for rum running during the early days of Prohibition.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But his darkest passion was burglary. I mean, like
he liked to rob people.
He liked to rob people. After killing his 10 crew members,
he killed his entire crew?
Mm-hmm. So they could never identify me as a bootlegger.
Okay, but then you don't have a crew.
He resumed his household. Yeah, right?
Because I'm pretty sure that they're not going to tell on you because that gets them in trouble too. Hello, they were just as guilty.
Mm-hmm. And so once that was all over, he resumed just robbing things again. He robbed the fucking president, man. So
basically, he's a klepto.
He is a klepto for sure.
Only like a klepto of people's houses.
And it might have started off with things he needed, but yeah, he's good at it. Eventually,
it just got to the point where he liked doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he probably was one of those people that thought, I am owed this due to my past.
That and I hate you, I'm going to take too. What's yours. You know what I mean?
I hate all you all, and my past has caused me to do this, and I am owed this.
Mm-hmm. In 1923, this one-man crime wave
wrecking ball
was arrested for attempted robbery and sentenced 5 years in Sing Sing. The guards at the facility were unable to keep him in line. He was
Sing Sing,
yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, after the reform school, that's like what he was conditioned to. Like, Sing Sing he can't touch this
pretty,
guy. The guards at the facility were unable to line it. He was transferred to the Clinton prison in Dannemora. 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 Considered to be the end of the line for criminals' hard cases.
Okay. I'm going to guess they let him out again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You were at the end of the line for the prison system. That should be a clue not to let you out.
27, okay, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So he's 27 plus 6 is 27, 28,
33.
He's 33 now, people. He's 33 years old.
Fuck.
Released in 1928. So 33 through 4 through 5 through 6 through 7. 38. He's 38 now.
You're right.
He hit the Baltimore, Washington area like a tornado, committing 11 burglaries and one murder. He was arrested in Washington, D.C. Police on August
9th. But just on the burglary, I'm guessing? Like, not the murders?
On August 16th, 1928, while in prison or while in jail, he wrote his autobiography and gave it to the sympathetic jailer, Henry Lizard.
I love that, first of all. Like, he is so full of himself and entitled that he writes his own autobiography while he is in freaking prison.
Carl glared at the junior children, them with deadly, what? Okay, at his trial, he glared at the jury, chilling them to death. If I live, I'll execute some more of you. That's what he said. Judge Walter McCoy sentenced the defendant to 25 years in Leavenworth.
Mm-hmm. Not even 25 years of life, just 25 years. Mm-hmm. In Leavenworth, and that's another one that's...
Yep, and his response to that was, visit me. Mm-hmm. The deputy warden at Leavenworth, Fred Zibers, said that Carl issued a grim warning. I'll kill the first man who bothers me. The following year, on June 20th, 1929, Carl crushed the skull of Robert G. Workins, killing him with an iron bar.
In prison?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck did he get an iron bar at?
A civilian employee worker at the prison had turned in a bad report on him, and he fucking...
So he killed a civilian worker?
Yeah.
With an iron bar?
Uh-huh.
First of all, there's a whole bunch wrong there. Civilian, first of all. Iron bar. What the fuck is he doing with an iron bar?
Right. But that was just because the warden gave him a bad...
That's what I... And that!
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't apparently, his reputation proceeded, and it took a year for anybody to really challenge him. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were scared of him. This man scared the fucking prison guard. Like, you're in... And he just didn't give a fuck. He's like, I don't care.
Those are the scariest people, the ones who literally just don't care.
He was sentenced for that murder. Or he was convicted of the murder. He was sentenced to die on the gallows. Gallows. I always think of Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know what's funny is there are some states that still have that as an option if everything else is run out.
Yeah. When the Society of the abolishment of capital punishment tried to intervene on his behalf.
Why?
Carl told them to forget it.
Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. First of all, that society is very, very, what's the word?
Fucking retarded.
Well, there's that misled. Ignorant,
misled.
Because why? No. Did you not read his autobiography?
Mm-hmm. So they told him he told them, forget it. Hanging, he said, would be a real pleasure and a big relief, adding, the only thanks you or your kind will ever get from me for your efforts on my behalf is that I wish y'all had one neck and I had my hands on it. I believe the only way to reform people is killing them. My motto is rob them all, rape them, and kill them. His last...
These are people that were trying to help him, even though that was stupid, and he is...
Yeah. So okay. this was his autobiography. That was part of his autobiography, and this was told by a J. Robert Mash, right? That was who wrote the article. Okay. Now, what it didn't talk about in this article is he has a military background.
Oh, fuck.
In this time frame, he also was in the military.
Oh, fuck.
Where the fuck did that thing go? Of course, it went away.
I thought I had it brought up.
So we're going to, you want to take a,
let's take a break. Okay. Sorry.
Nope. Go.
We're back.
Everyone. Sorry.
Jinx and shit. So we had an interesting conversation on our break, mainly about how the hell this dude got an iron bar
right
in prison and how much of a psychopath he is.
Yeah, basically. And how come the warden didn't just let it go?
Yeah, because they knew how crazy he was. Why would he even give him a write-up? Because obviously if he gets wrote up for something, he's going to know who told on him.
Yeah.
And was this guard brand new and nobody warned him? Hey, don't even bother messing with this dude.
Right. And the
ball
dude,
dropping. Right. Ball dropping.
So the guy we're talking about is Carl Panzram, And just to go over, he's a serial killer, obviously.
Piece of human garbage.
Right. He's classified as a robber and sodomy. 22 victims from 1920 to 1921.
Basically a psychopath.
Right. And his last arrest was in 1928. Methods of murder: shooting, strangulation, beating with a rock and iron bar. The locations were New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Kansas, U.S., and then Lundia, Angelo. I believe that those are in Africa.
Okay, so how many states was that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 states.
6 states, wow.
One other country. And he was executed in Kansas on September 5th, 1930. Okay, now, something that when I went over in that whole entire thing, it didn't talk about how he was in our military, right?
Which is also something that a lot of these, like, back in that time period, these serial killers that we talk about, that committed, a lot of them were in the military.
Yeah.
Because
everybody was in the military.
Yeah, and part of that reason was they either couldn't graduate high school or couldn't go to college, or couldn't find, so they're... their only choice was really going to the military, which is probably the worst thing, really. Yeah. Let's teach them how to use guns and, you know, everything else. Anyways, go on.
All right. Right. So he was 14 when he left that reform school, mm-hmm. right? And he got on that train mm-hmm. and he was headed. While he was on that train, he was gang raped by 4 hobos.
Oh, shit.
And this is where the sodomy comes into yeah. because he learned that the rectum wasn't just used for taking a fucking shit. It was power.
So, oh, like, yeah, that's what all rape is.
Yeah.
Power.
I mean, he didn't sodomize these guys. And it was only guys, never girls. It mm-hmm. was always guys. Like, none of his crimes were against women or children.
Which makes sense, because if he was a victim of men sodomizing him, he is going to try to take back that power by doing it to someone else, and he does it to humiliate, to have power, mm-hmm. to
all of that stuff. And I'm not saying like what he did was right.
No,
well, God, I'm just really that. Grateful at least it wasn't directed towards,
yes,
you know what I mean,
which is semi-surprising. And not okay, not I don't want to say that, because there are a lot of really terrible people out there, obviously, who don't do anything to, like, children. But I'm surprised that he did not take out any aggression on women due to the fact that his mother let him down.
Right.
Because a lot of times when people take stuff out of women, it's because
their mother. And I think he probably knew, like, in that time, his dad had left his mom. Like, she was just doing the best.
Yeah, and
she
hopefully, could, you hopefully, know what I mean? But there's some people
that don't know that.
Yeah, they like, my mom was never there. She was working 3 fucking jobs mm-hmm. to keep a roof over your 6 kids, you 6 kids' heads. Like,
right. And like, if you think about like all of the, I believe like all of the men that he, people that he killed mm-hmm. were probably men just like him. They were thieves. They were robbers. You know what I mean?
Well, so it's going to be mind, people he's around.
Well, I know, like, he was giving justice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, to, because people are horrible and shitty. Yeah, they're right alongside of you.
The reform thing, right?
The reform thing. So everybody that he was doing this to, in his mind, they deserved it by all rights.
That's because that's how he justifies
it. Uh-huh. He was judge, jury, and executioner, and God. You know, like, he thought he was eliminating. So in some kind of way, it's like, no, if, it's not
and,
okay.
If that
but,
was the case, like, no. Killing somebody, doing no. that to somebody is never okay, but you can be a little bit more understanding. However, killing a guard with an iron bar is not.
Yeah, I
feel so
like,
that's why I feel like there might have been some of those men in there that was the reason, but I have a feeling that there were other victims
that
crime of opportunity type.
Right.
Of
right. And that's very, very true. Okay, so here we go.
Military.
Okay, so he served a jail time and sentence, like the reformed, from 1908 to 1910. Mm-hmm. Oh no. He just served some time in from 1908 to 1910 at Fort Leavenworth State Disciplinary Barback for a short time, And then, right. And after that, he enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1907. So how old were you in 1907?
So he was born in 1891.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 1907.
Mm-hmm.
16.
He's 16. So that's about the right time.
Mm-hmm.
In 1907, William Howard Taft was then the Secretary of War and approved the sentence.
Let's rewind this here and remember what president he stole from.
Exactly. And in August of 1920, he broke into his house. You know.
Okay, so wait. Okay, time out. Sorry. So he joined the army when?
In 1907.
So he joined in 1907.
Mm-hmm.
And in he served until
that. It doesn't really. No. It doesn't.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it said in there like if he was.
Oh no! Wait.
Honorably discharged. Dishonorably discharged.
No. Wait a second. In 1907, Taft was the Secretary of State War. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1920 is when he burglarized. So I don't know if he enlisted in 1907 or not. I have another article.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have a feeling if they mentioned it.
Yeah.
That he might have enlisted because what else is he going to do at 16?
Yeah. Well, no, he enlisted, yeah. But I don't know if he enlisted in. No, he enlisted in 1907.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know why it took him so long. Probably because it took him that long to get to him and stuff like that.
Because he kept getting thrown in jail.
Yeah, that's true.
He spent a lot of time in jail between then and then.
And in his autobiography, he wrote that rage persified, right? He wrote he was rage persified. And he would often
personified,
thank you. Okay. He would often rape men who robbed. Not necessarily because he was a homosexual, but because of its method of dominance and humiliating, just like you said, a person. Yep.
I mean, any rape is like that, whether it's male on female, female on male, male on male, female. It's all about power. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. At one point considered. Okay. So he also engaged in vandalizing and arson. And at one point considered an ammunition plot to scuttle the British warship dock in New York Harbor in order to provoke a war between Britain and the United States. Like this guy, like he was all over the place, just massive chaos, massive, just like running rampant. And he had the means to do it because
he kept stealing money.
Well, yeah, and because in his mind, like, he was doing the right thing.
He was just
fine. Yeah, and when somebody's like that, there's no stopping them. They're going to find means and ways, and it just seemed like everything happened so easily. All these opportunities mm-hmm. just fell, and it's the night in the early.
Let's say in the early, and that it's easy back then because, I'm sorry, so I looked up when his military career okay, was, and at the very top of this thing, it's actually on military history.
Oh,
he's got 11 different names, 11 aliases that he went by.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it says that he, in 1907, at the age of 15, after getting drunk in a saloon in Montana, Pansrum enlisted in the U.S. Army because he was drunk. Shortly thereafter, he was convicted of larceny and served a prison sentence from 1908 to 1910.
There you go.
And that is when the Secretary of War, William Howard Taft, approved that sentence.
Yeah. Okay. And that's how come he burglarized him.
Yes. So, therefore, he, after his release and dishonorable discharge in 1910. So, really, he was only in there for about a year or so, and then he got sentenced to prison and was dishonorably discharged.
Yeah. That was the other article that I was going to bring up.
Yeah,
and it
sorry.
Is the same. No, perfect.
Curious.
I'm glad that you did so then I don't have to get out of this.
Comes in.
Yeah. And that, there you go.
And it, because he also actually says, Pansrum later claims that while before his imprisonment, he had been a pretty rotten yegg, the only result of his sentence was to drive out any goodness left in him during his Leavenworth imprisonment. So in other words, He's blaming Taft for driving out any goodness he had left in him. He actually had a lot of goodness left into him
right
at that point after Yeesh. Burning down stuff and like whatever. All right.
Go on. You're like, all right, go on. Okay, so, well, it's probably because at that point, I don't think he had murdered anybody. I don't think he was raping anybody.
Okay. Well, you know, no, because like, he was 15, yeah. 16.
So whatever happened at yeah. that prison, I could see. But still, you're blaming.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I got caught doing something I wasn't supposed to do, and I got sent to prison and then dishonorably discharged, and I got to blame somebody on this, and then I got to make up an excuse for why I was bad.
Exactly. So our timeline is like he gets out at 14, he hitches a ride, he gets drunk. Raped, he gets drunk, he joins the army, and then he's discharged, right?
Well, he was convicted of larceny.
Yeah.
Sentenced to prison, discharged.
Right. And right. now our next timeline, like his killing spree, his first murder was in 1920. He committed his first murder. He lured sailors in the New York away from the bars, got them drunk, raped, shot them, and dumped their rivers, the remains in the river.
See, and that's where I go back on that. I don't think they were all robbers and thieves if he was doing that shit.
Mm-hmm. He claimed,
he was taking it out of military at that point.
Right. He claimed to have killed 10 in all. He was stopped only when the vessel he was in was shipwrecked. Okay, so those first-hand people that he, like...
Oh, the bootlegging
thing. It was the bootlegging thing. It was shipwrecked near Atlanta City, New Jersey. His first two potential victims escaped to parts unknown. Then he went to Africa, where he claimed to have raped and killed 11 or 12... Oh, shit. Raped and killed an 11 or 12-year-old boy.
And that's why the only kid.
That's probably... Yeah. Mm. And I bet that kid, because you're in Africa, I'm not justifying it, was probably, you know, in the war and stuff. And that's probably how he justified
yeah.
his fucking actions. In this confession to his murders, he wrote, his brains were coming out of his ears and he left. And I left him. And he will never be any deader. He also claimed that he hired a rowing boat person. Shot the rower and threw their bodies to the crocodiles.
Just to take the rowboat? Like, mm-hmm. what the? You can go across the ocean in a rowboat, dude?
Right. And that was back in Africa, you know.
What the fuck? They're just trying to make a living rowing a boat.
Oh my God. During an interrogation and jail time, his last one, he voluntarily confessed to killing two boys. At that time, he was befriending a young prisoner guard named Henry Lezard. Lezard gave Pandrum some writing material, which the prisoner used to write his autobiography. So that was probably the only nice one. He said, in my lifetime, I have murdered 21 human beings. I have committed thousands of burglaries, larceny. Last but not least, I have committed sodomy in over 1,000 male humans. For all these things, I am not the least bit sorry.
He wasn't. That's the thing. When he says he wasn't sorry, he literally was not sorry.
Oh my God. He went home to his mother at some point, who was grieving over the drowning death of her favorite son. So Pandrum moved on again. He ran away. That's when he got in the boxcar. So like when he left, I'm just going to go over like little things that happened.
So when he got out of the boys' reformatory school,
he went home and his mom was grieving.
And he couldn't deal with the fact. So instead of grieving for his brother also, he was probably just pissed off that his mom wasn't paying attention to him.
Right. Or she had just too much going on. I feel like he, but maybe I got it wrong. You know, like, so he just decided to leave. And
that could be too. I mean, there could be different. We don't know that whole situation, but. There's a couple different things that could have happened, but I guarantee part of him was pissed off that he was not getting the attention that he thought he deserved.
Mm-hmm. And once he got on the boxcar, he was gang raped. It said, mm-hmm. I cried and I begged and I pleaded for mercy, pity and sympathy, but nothing I could say or do swayed them from their pursuit. That's purpose that
where...
left. I left that boxcar sadder, sicker, but a wiser boy.
Because mm-hmm. he quote unquote learned mm-hmm. question mark
but
from that.
The bum seemed to have taught Carl another valuable lesson. I had learned that the rectum could be used for other purposes than
taking a shit.
Yeah. I don't even know.
I mean, let's face it too, especially back in that time period, I mean, none of these guys are going to go tell the police or nobody's going to go to law enforcement and be like, this dude sodomized me, because they're embarrassed. That's the other part of it. That's the other part of that power. He knows he's not going to get caught.
In 1911, Carl was traveling with an Indian when they attacked a railroader, robbed him of $35, bound his arms and legs, and stuffed a sock in the mouth. I figured that I had such a good chance as that I would commit a little sodomy on him. He is still there, unless the buzzards and coyotes have finished the last of him.
1911?
Mm-hmm.
That was right after he got out of prison and discharged from the army.
Mm-hmm. At one point.
Which means that he was 18, 19 at that time.
Mm-hmm. At one point during his trip, Carl killed a young boy. This is how he explained in his own rooms. I sat down to think things over a bit. While I was sitting there, a little kid about 11 or 12 years old came bumming around. He was looking for something. He found it too. I took him out to a gravel pit about 1/4 mile. I left him there, but first committed sodomy on him and then killed him. His brains were coming out of his ears when I left him, and he will never be deader. Like, this was in America. This wasn't in Africa. This was just because. So, no. He's just a shit fucking person. His career of brutality traveled the world, South Africa, Europe, Africa, the U.S., leaving a wake of corpses in his stead.
It makes you wonder, too, how many people went missing back then that were never found and it was never tied to him.
Right. But, I mean, he confessed to only killing 22.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was real. I don't think he would have.
Because usually when people are caught and they've killed that many, they want credit.
Yeah.
For every single person they killed. This isn't funny, but this is one of these things with serial killers, right? Like, because I've heard of different ones that say, like, I killed 63 and I want credit for all 63, but they don't have evidence of some of them, so they only get charged for like 59, and they're pissed off about it too because they want that other 4 charges. Yeah. They want credit for it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Later, when he was in South Africa, he had hired 8 native guides to help him hunt crocodiles. Instead, he killed the hired hands, sodomized their corpses, and fed them to the reptiles.
What was the point of that?
For sport.
Oh my god!
That's what he said, for sport.
That reminds me of a case. I mean, I've heard the case before. Miss New Zealand just did one on. His name is Robert Hansen. Robert Hansen. They called him the Butcher Baker of Alaska, and he would do that. He would kidnap sex workers or like strippers, say that he wanted to photograph them because they were beautiful. Kidnap them, assault them, take them in his like biplane thing out in Alaska. Like, he would fly a plane to like an island where he had a cabin, blindfold them, rope their hands behind their back and say, better run. And he would hunt them. He would hunt them. Like an animal. Yeah. Yeah. There's people out there the scary part is it's not just one, like there's numerous people out there like that. And my brain cannot wrap around that kind of mentality. Like I understand, obviously there's something mentally wrong with them. I'm not justifying it. There is, because I cannot understand it.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I just This I can't. I just I don't understand it.
You can't comprehend it.
No, especially like, the child who was that old. Like, what the fuck did he do to you?
And why
at
do you
first
have to,
I was feeling why, for
why,
this guy?
Why do you have to like describe it in such a way that like makes it seem like
just you, another day?
No,
in the
it's
park.
Like it's like I'm bragging. Like I did this really cool thing. You know, it's like somebody being like, I just went skydiving, and it was like
right
so nonchalant.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it was written too. Okay, it says this, even when humane rights organizations tried to have his life spared, Carl would retort, whatever. Mm-hmm. I prefer to die that way. And if I had a soul, and if that soul should burn in hell for a million years, still I prefer that than to linger agonizing death in some prison. Dungeon.
Maybe that's why they were fighting for that.
Mm-hmm. Or a padded cell in a madhouse. Or a padded cell in a madhouse.
Because there are a lot of people who think about it that way, too. Like, giving somebody the death sentence is giving them the easy way out.
Right.
Like, let's just let them rot.
Yeah, but he'd probably end up killing somebody if they wanted to.
Well, I understand that, which is why, I mean, like, I go back and forth on capital punishment, right? Like, I do this back and forth thing, like, it's not really right. Like, we shouldn't be able to decide when to take somebody's life. But there's some people that just need to be gone.
Agreed. I have a comment about that after I finish reading this. Okay. And then, okay, the only thanks you or your kind will ever get from me is your effort on my behalf, is that I wish you all had one neck and that I had one hand on it. I have no desire to reform myself. The only desire to reform people who tried to reform me. And I believe that the only way to reform people is to kill them. Finally, he got his wish and he was hung. Bitter to the end, Carl went to his maker with a curse on his lip. Hurry up, you hoser bastard. He snarled at the executioner preparing the noose. I could hang a dozen men while you're fooling around.
I'm going to read that letter now.
Yes.
Okay. So,
I'm like, yes, because that's all she wrote with this guy.
So while I was looking up his military stuff, well, yeah, I found some actual like letters that he wrote that are in his handwriting. And towards the end, he wrote to President Herbert Hoover, and this was when he was in Leavenworth, and it was May 30th, 1930. Did you say he? I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's President Herbert Hoover. Sorry, I've got to like, it's cursive and it's really faint. To President Herbert Hoover, care of Attorney General Mitchum something or other, Washington, D.C. I am writing this letter to notify you that I have been tried in the U.S. court for the crime of murder in the first degree. I was found guilty and sentenced to be hanged by the neck until I am dead. I hereby notify you that I am perfectly satisfied with my trial and the sentence. I do not want another trial. Neither do I want to have that sentence changed in any way. The only Sorry, there's like a crease in the page here. The only way this sentence can be changed is by the direction of the President of the U.S. I believe that I am within my constitutional rights when I refuse to accept a pardon or a commutation, and I had to look up this word commutation, which is a change of a legal penalty or punishment to a lesser one. So he refuses that to accept a lesser penalty than the death penalty. To a sentence of life imprisonment, either in a prison or a insane asylum. I absolutely refuse to accept either a pardon or commutation. Should should either one or the other be offered to me? Signed, Carl Panzram, prisoner number 31614, Leavenworth, Kansas. Sorry if I was like kind of like struggling with that, because it's an actual photo of the letter, and so like there's parts of it kind of ripped off, so, and it's in cursive, and it was wrote in pencil, and so.
Right.
But either way, like, he wrote the president and was like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. I don't want to be pardoned. I don't want anything else. I want to die.
I'm ready to get off of this world. You know, and, like, I feel like that's a good way to end this, because there's not much more to say. This is, he was America's, like, I can't think of anybody else that could be that bad, but apparently there are some out there, you know what I mean?
I can think of some that are that bad, but that doesn't make him any less bad. Yeah. Less bad.
he's
bad too. And it's an unfortunate thing too, where it was so early at that, in that time period, that he was able to get away with it as long as he did. And that's why he was able to, because he was able to change his name. He was able to just go from place to place. They didn't have fingerprints or DNA or
any of that stuff.
And
so, thank you. Vintage Homicide, for sending that my way. I hope I did it some kind of justice or whatever. And
did you have something you want to say on Capitol?
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was that? Okay, Capitol.
I said I go back and forth.
Oh, okay. So I remember when I was like a junior. No, it was my senior year, right? And I was living with my friend Rachel and her family. And I'm against the death penalty at this point. Like, mm-hmm. I am like, human beings, you can't kill da-da-da-da-da. You know, who gives them the right? I would feel bad. Mm-hmm. And my friend Rachel, her mom, they're Christians, you mm-hmm. know? Not like Bible thumping. It was just a really, yeah, like they drank in the
evangelist house.
Exactly. They drank in the house. It mm-hmm. was very normal. They were just like a beautiful family, right? And so she explained to me, she said, April, like, some people do deserve to die. That's why you have the law, right? And the person, the executioner, if you believe the way that she did and Christians do, like, he wanted this job, or it fell into his hands. So it's like a God-appointed mm-hmm. type thing. You know what I mean? So in a way, it's God doing the punishment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if everything's supposed to fall the way that it's supposed to, the criminal justice does their mm-hmm. part the way it's supposed to, and that's the verdict based on facts, and this is what it is, then you have to accept that God wouldn't just randomly let random people fucking kill people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not a Christian. I don't follow that, mm-hmm. but I understand that concept, mm-hmm. you know, and that made it a little bit easier for me to grasp.
And I think with me, one of my biggest problems with capital punishment, the death penalty, is in cases where it is not proven 100%
yeah.
that they did that crime. Because there have been people who have been executed, and then later on, due to DNA or whatever, they've been found to be innocent.
Right. If there's any reasonable doubt, yeah. they shouldn't have
now,
that.
Now, there are some of these motherfuckers who there's no doubt that they committed the crimes that they did.
Yeah.
Like, none whatsoever. They've got fingerprints, DNA, confessions. The bodies were buried under their goddamn house. You know, like, they should be dead.
Yeah.
Like, because there's no doubt whatsoever.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
Agreed.
So, in those cases, I'm fine with it.
I would never, I say this, never want to be a jury person.
God.
On one of those, I would tell them, I can't do that. I would be too prejudiced against the thing.
Here's the thing. And I've learned this from listening to podcasts. Each state has different regulations for jury. Like, some states, the jury merely decides whether or not the person is guilty of whatever, and then the judge decides on the actual sentencing. In other states, it's the jury that both decides guilty or innocent, and they decide
right.
the sentencing.
If I was asked to be on a jury where a person had committed some shit and death I knew was definitely going to be a possibility, I would have to dip out, because I would feel guilty. I would feel responsible, and I mm-hmm. wouldn't be able to make a clear-cut decision, regardless of whether or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, here's the funny thing about jury duty, though. The thing is, if you know that that's what the case is, you can't serve on that jury anyway, because you already know what it's about. Mm-hmm. You don't know what that case is about.
They ask you a lot of questions.
They do, because you have, they have to make sure that you don't have an already biased opinion towards it. So even if you know anything about it, you're not going to be on that.
No.
So you're not knowing what you're getting into until you're there.
Yikes.
And then they sequester you, so you can't talk to anybody.
That's crazy.
So, like, I can't even, like, I think back at some of these true crime cases that I've heard about, listened to, read about, and thought about what it would be like to be on that jury and to listen to the testimonies of these people and see photos and evidence. And, like, I'm like, because, like, part of me is like, that'd be kind of cool to be, like, on. But not with that shit. I don't want to be on that kind of a jury duty case. Like, give me something else. Like, but not where I have to look at somebody being like, stabbed 1,000 times or whatever.
Yeah, and through the evidence, it would just be too much for me. I don't know.
There was one case where it was so graphic and gruesome and terrible that every single jury member, I mean, and I think this happens normally anyway, were offered counseling, and every single one of them took that counseling, and that's the only time and first time that it has ever happened where they've all accepted counseling, because like that'll fuck you up.
Yeah,
like that you're doing your civic duty and you got like PTSD and can't work all of a sudden because of it. Like, I can't even.
No. Well, if you liked what you heard, you can go to nocturnaldistractions.com, and at the bottom of the show notes, there'll be a link to Link, and that'll get you to like Spotify, all of that jazz.
All of our listening platforms and our Patreon page and our website and all of our socials and our like donation pages and our case request form. And
yeah,
please leave us some stuff, guys.
It was good to be back with you, Kendra.
It's good to have you back.
All right, I love you guys.
Yes, and like I said, leave us some messages. Like, obviously, you guys are listening out there. We're getting plays and views and whatnot and more followers all the time. So somebody's listening, and we would like to have some feedback.
Well, I feel like if we're not getting feedback, but we're having listeners, then we're obviously doing something right. I hate to say that because I feel so conceited.
If you are a listener out there that thinks that we're doing a good job, like, even if you don't want to leave a review somewhere, like, just send us a DM on Instagram and be like, hey, I think you guys rock, or you're doing really awesome. Like, keep it up, because we need to hear that sometimes. Otherwise, otherwise we're just sitting around in our living rooms talking about really gruesome shit for no reason.
Fucking A, Kendra. I think the following speaks for itself. Kendra's like, no, I want some motherfucking reassurance. I mean,
look, no, it's not that.
No,
it's just,
no, I get
some,
it. No.
I want some feedback. I'm
right there with you. I want to know the same thing. Yeah. I want to know the same thing, because I get a little bit, I don't know, did I?
It's more along the lines of like, what do they want to hear? Do they like what I just talked about this last time? Do they like this stuff more? Like, we want to talk about kind of what you guys want to know too.
Right.
As opposed to like what I want to talk about.
I want to stay selfish and be like, fuck that shit. It is what we want to talk about. But I want the same things you do.
Yeah,
I do.
Kind of like, do you guys want to hear about like the big popular cases? Do you want to hear about ones that other people haven't heard about, like I did last week with Ann Sludy, you know?
Yeah. What do you want to hear, people?
We don't know unless you tell us. So let us know. And we will catch you guys next time with my case, which might be a two-parter.
Oh, yay.
But
nice.
We'll see.
All right, then. Love y'all.
Love y'all. Have a good night.